Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The mission trip that I went on last November to Southeast Asia was remarkable in a lot of different ways. However, one of the more unremarkable aspects of that trip was the number of times I went through airport security from my departure from Portland, Maine to the return through Portland, Maine again. I counted that I went through customs and security 22 times in 22 different stops in the course of the 17 days. One of the comical stories that came out of that experience has to do with my friend Alan Taylor. I traveled with Reverend Ted Nathalang, the missionary from Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and Reverend Taylor from Texas. Alan warned us when we met up in Tokyo that his prosthetic hip replacement would likely cause him a bit of a delay going through airport security. And sure enough, Ted and I went through every single airport security screener without a problem, but Alan was stopped at every single one, at every single security point. He got one of those famous pat-downs that we have heard a lot about here recently. And there were a lot of funny stories that came out of that, as you can imagine. Well, like it or not, airport security is a necessary part of traveling these days. And I must say, from my own experience, that the airports that had the tightest airport security actually made me feel more secure on the plane that I traveled on departing from that airport. Security at airports that were lax, like those in Cambodia and Malaysia and Indonesia, actually, the lax security made me feel a lot more nervous about riding on the planes that departed from those airports. So it seemed like the principle here that emerged from my experience was this. The greater the security, the less the worry. And the weaker the security, the greater the worry. The more I worried about my security, the less I was able to enjoy the flight. And the more confident I was of my security, the more I was able to relax and just enjoy the flight. So as long as I felt safe and secure, I felt free to go and do what I needed to go and do. I remember when Ted first called and asked if I could help with this project he had going in Indonesia. The first question I asked was based on the fact that Indonesia is the largest Muslim population in the world. My first question was, is it safe? And he assured me that I had nothing to worry about. And so with his assurance that it was safe, I said, sure, I'll go, and I went. Actually, as I think about it, even if he had said, no, it's not safe and your security will be at risk, I think I would still have said, sure, I'll go. But I'm sure that Deb would have nixed the whole thing. I think that this is the point that Jesus is getting at in this section of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6. Remember here, his primary audience are these hand-picked disciples, these 12, whom he is preparing to send to all nations. It's going to be the ultimate missions trip that he's sending them on. And he wants them to know that they're safe and secure so that they may go and do what he's sending them to do to all nations to do. He not only wants them to carry out the mission to baptize and to teach them everything I have commanded you, but he wants them to do so without worrying about their life. He wants them to be so confident of their security that they carry out their mission with a carefree joy in their heart. And that whole attitude of carefree joy that depends upon the security that comes from the Lord, that in itself will be a large part of their witness. And so Jesus says to his disciples, do not be anxious about your life. Now, it's one thing when Dr. Phil says something like that. When Dr. Phil says, don't be anxious about your life, what he means is, don't worry about your life because it'll all turn out just fine. And if you asked him, how can you be so sure of that? I think that the best he could do is to either answer, well, because the chances are everything will be okay, or, Well, because you can actually make a difference in the way your life goes just by not worrying. In other words, a psychologist's answer, the power of your worry influences the direction and the course of your life. I don't know about you, but advice like that makes me worry even more. But when Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life," he means neither of the above. What he means is, do not worry about your life because I will take care of you. I will provide for all of your needs. I will deliver you from all danger, from all evil. In fact, I will deliver you from your death, from death itself. In fact, the whole Old Testament is a record of God's relationship with his people, and throughout that record, what we see is God takes care of his people. The Old Testament is filled with words of assurance and reassurance that the people of God are safe and secure under God's care, and they need not worry about their life because they are secure. The prophet Isaiah pre-echoes the words of Jesus here in this Sermon on the Mount when he says, "Like birds hovering, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will spare and rescue it." So when Jesus tells his disciples to not worry about their life, he's really saying the same thing that God wanted to impress upon his people all along. Just as God took perfect care of his people in former times, he continues to take perfect care of his people in these last days, because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. And so in perfect unity with his word of old, Jesus now says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" That's a rhetorical question, by the way. The only answer here is, yes, of course, we're of more value than they. I mean, did God become a bird to save birds? Or did he become a flower to save flowers? Those are two more rhetorical questions. The answer is obvious. No, of course he didn't. But he did become man to save you. You are more valuable than the birds and the flowers because Jesus Christ, the God-man, suffered and died on the cross and was raised again from the dead to give you perfect security for your life. Not even death should worry you because Jesus has even overcome your death. That is what Jesus means when he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." This is the security that the disciple of Jesus Christ lives under. And it's a security that no security on earth can give. No Department of Homeland Security, no social security system, no security system for your home or office can give you this kind of security. It is the security of knowing that the one and only Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth, and who upholds the universe by the word of his power, holds you in the palm of his hand. This is the security that Brownlow entered into this morning through holy baptism, and that you entered into through your baptism as well. "Behold, Brownlow, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands," says the Lord. So the principle here is, the greater the security, the less the worry. Now, there is no greater security than the security that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if I may paraphrase a word from New Testament, perfect security drives out all worry. So then, why do we worry about our life? Why are we so anxious about tomorrow? Two more rhetorical questions, by the way. The answer is obvious. We do worry. We are anxious because we do not believe Jesus. We do not really trust in his word. We are of little faith. So, can we begin now to understand why worry and anxiety about our life is really sin? To worry about your life is to discount the great price that Christ has paid for your security. And as long as that sin is allowed to stand between you and Jesus, we will always be hesitant, reluctant, afraid to heed his calling, carry out his word and his work that he's called us to do, and to do so with a confident joy that is based on trust in his perfect care for us. A great example of this is found in the Old Testament, in Old Testament Israel, when they're backed up against the Red Sea coming out of Egypt. Remember how worried they were for their life as they saw Pharaoh's army approaching them? And remember how Moses, the man of God, told Israel, "Do not worry about your life. Just stand still. Today you will see the Lord's deliverance." And so God had Israel pass through the Red Sea, and then the Egyptian army followed. And God turned the Red Sea into the most effective security scanner of all times. It detected and apprehended every single terrorist. How secure should Israel have felt after that? Another rhetorical question, it's obvious. They should have felt perfectly secure, but they didn't. In fact, they didn't go very far at all before they began to worry again. They worried about their life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? And what was the result of their worry? It paralyzed them. It not only stopped them from moving forward, it nearly caused them to abandon the mission altogether, turn back, and return to Egypt. But God, in his mercy and patience, fed them manna and quail, made water spring from a rock of all things, and their clothes never wore out. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So with the same mercy and patience of old, Jesus now removes the sin that stands between us and himself by the word of his power, "I forgive you all of your sins." And he feeds us with food from heaven, his own body, and he gives us drink from himself, who is the rock, his blood, and he clothes us with his own righteousness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit working through these means of grace, as humble as they are, he strengthens our faith so that we may trust in his care for us and not be anxious about our life. I want to make one more point here before we conclude, and it's a point of caution. I'm afraid that sometimes in our zeal to place our total trust and confidence in Jesus' promise to take care of us, we wrongly conclude that idleness or irresponsibility is actually a sign of great faith. I may think that Jesus' promise to take care of my life and provide me with food, drink, clothing means that I don't need to work for these things, when in fact, not working for these things is actually a sign of my great faith. And the other side of that same misunderstanding goes like this. I can buy all the things that I want on credit, even though I know I don't have the money to pay for these things, but because I trust in Jesus, I figure he'll take care or find a way for me to pay the bill when it comes. And the same story is told in a broader perspective here that says, "Oh, I'll spend everything that I have on myself now while I'm young and simply trust that Jesus will supply for all my needs when I retire." One of the great Christ figures in the Old Testament was Joseph. Joseph knew of the worldwide drought that was about to take place, but rather than saying, "Oh, God will take care of it," and use it as permission to do nothing, he organized all of Egypt to work hard and make sacrifices for now in order that God would be able to, that God would provide for them in the future. And they did so without worry because they trusted in God to provide for all their needs. And by their hard work, God provided food for the whole world, and even for Joseph's own family. So the security that we have through faith in Jesus Christ sets us free from all worry and anxiety so that we may work hard and make the sacrifices that are necessary to be his disciples to all nations. In fact, I suspect that it's only when we are not anxious about our life that we are able to lay down our life in love for our neighbor. This applies to our individual callings as parents and spouses, as children, as citizens, as neighbors, as well as it does to our corporate calling as a congregation and as a church. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.